You earn a living. You probably own a business, work for one, or want to start one. Business is central to your life. But do most business shows really speak to you?
Today on the show, the $1 billion valuation of
Balogun Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigeria Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of...
And Balogun Street.
The maximum I'll spend on fuel to and fro was 4,000.
On Balogun and Broad, Wednesdays at 5.
Lagos, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. What's next for Nigeria's tech sector? This is the business show for people who are doing real business. We don't, I always say, we don't talk up here. We talk about how the biggest stories of the day are affecting your business or the business that you work for. And we talk to real people doing real business. Now, today we're talking about the tech sector. So we're reporting from Broad Street. The world of apps and software as a service, that sector is growing worldwide, but more so in a few countries, including Nigeria. And recently, we've seen huge investment in some of Nigeria's more successful tech company. Our business hard fact today is that Flutterwave just announced a $170 million investment, which has raised its valuation to over $1 billion. It's huge news. It's big news worldwide. Yet another unicorn is born. And of course, this new investment has positioned Flutterwave to be even more of a global player than it already was. But it is also a good sign for the Nigerian tech sector in general. And that's what we want to talk about today. We're looking at how the tech sector got here and what the next chapter could look like and what is needed for them to get there. Joining me to talk about this is somebody who understands the tech sector intimately. She's the co-founder of First Check Africa. First Check Africa is an angel fund investing in the sector. And her name is Eloho Omame. Eloho, thank you so much for joining us on Hard Facts today.
Hi, Sandra. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on the show. Lagos, as we talk, we want to hear from you as well. What do you think is behind the success and growth of the Nigerian tech sector? If you work in tech, you have to give me a call. I want to learn from you today. Give me a call and tell us what you do. Tell us how you got started. If you want to learn more about tech, you've got questions. I've got a guru on the show today. So please call her and ask her all the questions you want to ask her. She's an investor. So, you know, maybe ask her about that. You know, that could help you. The number to call is 0700-993-993-993. So, Eloho. Let's start with the Flutterwave deal. Before we talk about the sector in general, let's start with that. We keep seeing the term unicorn, 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 used to describe Flutterwave. What's a unicorn, for those who don't know? And I remember what I said in the beginning, we don't talk up here, so, you know, let's keep it very,
A unicorn, very simply, is a company it's a technology company, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a tech business. So usually it's a software company, but certainly it's a tech or tech-enabled company that is valued at $1 billion or more. And I use that word technology company very specifically, and a startup very specifically, putting aside, sometimes people conflate startup to mean something that is new. Mm-hmm. But of course, we see, you know, some people still refer to Uber as a startup. Some people still refer to Stripe, which is a $95 billion company as of last week, as a startup. Mm. But really, the notion of a startup really means high growth technology company in this context. Mm. And a unicorn is a company that hits that $1 billion mark. That $1 billion mark being significant because at the time when the phrase unicorn was coined, and for now I forget the name of the woman that did the work in which she sort of, you know, coined this phrase. But basically what she was saying was that those big exits where the investors, the VCs, were going to make these massive returns on their capital, and there were few and far between. And we all know that a unicorn is a mythical creature, right? It looks like a horse with a horn. It really exists. So the idea is unicorns are few and far between. Of course, over time, as the sector globally has developed, as more and more capital has flown into it, of course, most tech companies are not unicorns. Mm-hmm. But I think at the time when she did the work, there were less than 10 unicorns globally. Mm-hmm. And today they're probably, you know, knocking on about 100 mm-hmm. across the different markets. Mm-hmm. I suppose Flutterwave as a unicorn is significant because its story is quite unique. I think it's probably the third or fourth African company, we can say, the African technology company that I had valued. So with three out of those, so apart from Jumia, have been private company settings, they're not really companies. Mm-hmm. But the difference, I suppose, and the reason so many are excited for two is that that value has been created in 5 years. Mm-hmm. So JB and his team started company years ago, mm-hmm. and they've grown to unit status. These companies are third or fourth in round. Mm-hmm. This is Series C, and they have a quote-unquote first African company that has sort of, you know, back to that high growth analogy, right? To grow to $1 billion a year, mm-hmm. 5 years. If you think of other companies valued at $1 billion, you know, think of some of our largest company on our stock exchange in Nigeria. They existed for 20 years. It took them, you know, significantly longer than Tez to reach that dollar value. Mm. Well, they've been there for a rest of 20 years. You're planning to take any longer than Tez to reach that vision. That's what unicorns take, a hybrid.
So a lot of what you were saying for the past say 1 minute, 1 minute 30 seconds were blurring. You sounded kind of like you were inside water, so I'm guessing the network dropped off there. I'm talking to Eloho via Zoom, so you can actually watch Lagos. You're watching live via Facebook and YouTube. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube is Nigeria Info FM. But yes, Eloho was taking us through a step-by-step process of what exactly a unicorn is. So you want to
Sandra, can you hear? I may hear now because I can hear now, like your water. I don't know if you can hear okay. And if you off my video for a few minutes.
So it's still sounding like that. It's still sounding like you're in water. I don't know if it's from my end or it's from your end.
Okay, if you don't mind, let me keep the camera off for a couple of minutes for that result.
And see if that works. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's try that. Lagos, if you just joined the show, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. And we've got Eloho Omame on the show with us. She is the co-founder of First Check Africa, an angel fund investing in the tech sector here in Nigeria. Let's talk about valuations. Can you teach us about that? We're saying Flutterwave is worth $1 billion, but the investment was actually 170 million. So how did it translate to a $1 billion valuation?
Well, first of all, come in, hear me okay.
No, it still sounds like you're swimming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I get 30 seconds to
switch your internet?
If you don't, just give me 30 seconds.
Okay.
Take that long.
All right, let's do that. Let's switch internet. Okay, great. Well, that's another thing somebody needs to invest in Nigeria, to be honest with you. Those of you in the tech sector, you have to find a way to give us internet that actually works. My internet service provider has had a downtime all day today. I even sent out a tweet and I was like, what's happening? Will you people give me back this day? Because you say 30 days validity, right? You know, you have like a downtime once a week or twice a week. So are you going to give me back those days that you had a downtime? They didn't address that, chat, but they asked me for my address so that they'll see what they can do. They haven't done anything because my internet is still down. So it's a really terrible day for internet service. We do hope Eloho Zone can get better. But we have Nigerians who are trying to call into the show. So I'm guessing they've got questions about how this works exactly, or maybe they work in tech. Because remember I said, if you work in tech, I want to hear from you. If you have ideas about what is behind the success and growth of the Nigerian tech sector, I want to hear from you as well. I'm also curious about what questions you may have about the tech business environment. You know, perhaps you want to invest, perhaps you want to go into it, you want to learn how to code, you want to learn how to manage product, because I know there's like such a market, big market for product managers now. And you just have general questions about the sector, you can give us a call and ask a few questions just before, just while Eloho is trying to fix her internet service. 99.3, hello.
Good evening,
what's your name?
I'm Olajide Felix.
Good to have you on the show. So which is it for you? Tech sector, trying to join, etc., etc.?
Yeah, I'm already there, but not fully, so like maybe 20%. So I currently run a platform where people do a bit of saving, but not fully. So I'm so excited when I heard about you bringing out on the show this evening.
Yeah.
So my question is that how do I transform my platform where
okay?
I currently have like 20% fintech into full tech, the likes of FaceTag and the rest of other fintech platforms.
I like this for a couple of minutes whilst I try and.
Okay. So let me get that question again. Say that again.
Yeah, my question is that I currently have a platform where I do like 20% fintech. I mean, I usually receive a bit of saving. They usually buy something, so they have to, like a wallet.
Right.
Well, yeah, so but I really want to go into post-tech fintech where people can do a target savings and from there they can do a bit of other things like
Right.
So I really want to know how to transform that. And currently, I know I don't have full knowledge about that, so I'm currently looking out on, you know, hearing from how I can get co-founder or investor that could partner in, so
to
I can
that.
Transform
okay.
that.
Okay.
And on the platform, I currently have about more than 3,005 subscribers already.
Yeah, don't start selling your market on my show. You have to pay for that.
Oh, sorry about that.
But all right, thank you very much for calling. We've got Eloho back on the line now. So let's try this way. Unfortunately, you won't see her face for a bit, but we'll try and get her to switch on her camera eventually if the network allows. But yes, and all, talk to us about valuations. Talk to us about Flutterwave being worth $1 billion. The investment was actually $170 million. So how did that translate to $1 billion valuation?
Yeah, so a bit better.
No, the sound isn't working either.
Me too. In Nigeria, I'm having to sort out what not that called.
Oh, no.
Sandra, I'm
getting to
let locations. No.
Is this better? This is working now.
Okay, good. I'll stay here.
All right, good.
Right. Good. Okay. So valuations, how do they work? I mean, basically, Flutterwave, its valuation is
we've lost you again.
Tracking pretty.
We've lost you again.
Consistently with. Okay, hear me now. Tell me when you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Good. I've literally had to go out onto the street to get internet because I don't know what's going on today.
All right.
Okay.
Sorry.
So if you can hear me now, no worries. If you can hear me now, the way valuations work, basically, of course, these companies are being valued in a private setting. So they're being valued by venture capitalists and early stage investors who believe that there's a lot more growth ahead of the companies.
Mm.
If you think about just even the proposition that Flutterwave is and think about the problem that they're trying to solve, which is payments across Africa. The Nigerian market in and of itself clearly is a pretty big market.
Mm-hmm.
And connecting Nigerian payments to payments within and off the continent is a big market opportunity. So in some respects, in a lot of the valuation reflects the market opportunity that's ahead of Flutterwave in terms of what they're building. The other thing that, of course, the valuation will reflect is the stage of the company. I don't know Flutterwave's numbers intimately, so I can't speak to the specifics of the kinds of volumes that they're doing.
Right.
But if you just think about the fundamentals of the way that valuation works, typically there are benchmarks and there are anchors, which we base on the volume of transactions, for example, that Flutterwave is doing today, and what comparable companies, you know, for example, I mentioned a company like Stripe, there are a bunch of other payments companies, Adyen, et cetera, even Visa and MasterCard, what, you know, what their own valuations look like relative to the volume of payments transactions that they're doing. And all of that kind of analysis reflects, is then reflected into how one then values Flutterwave. So really simple math. If, you know, you have a company like a Visa or a MasterCard that is being valued at, I don't know, 20 times what we call earnings before EBITDA, right? I'm not saying that's necessarily where the valuation multiple is, but that's just an example.
Right.
You would then look at what Flutterwave's EBITDA number was, multiply that by 20 times. You would make a couple of adjustments for things like Visa is global, Flutterwave is Africa only, and you would sort of end up in a valuation that was some form of comparable to that. At a stage, company of Flutterwave's stage, the valuations at this point start to reflect really, you know, things like trading multiples of his global comparative global comparable peers. And so when they say that they've raised 170 million, but they are valued at a billion, what that means is that 170 million of capital came in. You know, so it came in, but on a valuation of a billion. So that means the total equity or the total shares of the company that have been issued that are in various hands at this point of the founders, of the venture capitalists, that total equity together in aggregate is worth a billion, but they raised 170 of cash that came in. Now, my suspicion is that the billion includes the 170, if you see what I mean. I might be wrong. My suspicion is that that billion is what we call a post-money valuation. I couldn't see, some of the press wasn't specific. But basically what it means is that the new cash that, if that is the case, what it would mean is that the new cash of 170 that they have just gained in exchange for issuing some more shares in combination with the shares that were already issued is worth $1 billion, or is valued by the market at $1 billion today. And like I said, it's a pretty significant achievement. And it's exactly the kind of track record that our ecosystem needs to start to put points on the board with regards to, you know, the value that these tech startups are creating.
Right. We've been seeing more of these large deals recently. I mean, we also saw Stripe, you've mentioned that several times, acquiring Paystack for about $200 million. And the question on a lot of people's minds, mine inclusive, is what is attracting all of this money, this global money, into the Nigerian tech sector?
I think a lot of, so the truth is, global money has been flowing to the Nigerian tech sector for over a decade now. Interestingly, one of the new investors into Flutterwave is a fund called Tiger Global, which is a pretty well-known, successful global VC fund that tends to come in at sort of this stage, just before what we call the growth stage of a business. But Tiger Global actually invested in a couple of some of those early tech businesses. I believe they were an investor in Iroko, for example, many years ago. And so this idea of global capital, global tech capital, or global capital flowing into the tech sector has been the case for a while. I think the quantum of capital is now starting to really accelerate. But the reason that that interest has been there for a while is because, back to what I said about the market, right? In many ways, everyone likes to talk about all the reasons why Nigeria is a difficult place to invest in. And there is merit to some of that discussion. But at the end of the day, it is sub-Saharan Africa's largest market by many, many indications. And I think that within the global investor community, there is very much this sense, two senses. One, that if you can, if you're going to make, so don't forget also VCs want to write write a check and then make money, many multiples of that back on their investment. And the way that you do that is by looking for big market opportunities, right? You look for big market opportunities. You look for companies that are going to be, opportunities that are going to be more scalable, more quickly. And scale has everything to do with, first of all, even the size of the whole market and the size of that opportunity. But also when you then have a player that is saying, Africa is quite a fragmented market. So many companies will need to grow by sort of consolidating across markets. But you don't start that journey towards scale
and what have you by starting in very, very small markets.
Right.
So in very many ways, Nigeria is really interesting for global VC. The truth is, Egypt is also very interesting for a similar reason.
Okay.
Kenya is interesting as an East Africa block because, again, there's that sort of chunky opportunity to invest. And of course, you know, the East African community is a little bit more fungible than the rest of the continent.
Mm-hmm.
And then South Africa tends to start a little bit apart. But when you think about where global capital is going in Africa, it tends to be those four real kind of pivot points. And the reason for that is people looking for scale opportunities to deploy capital in ways that they're going to make massive returns over time.
At the same time, though, there's the question about whether this investor enthusiasm will extend beyond payments in particular and fintech in general, or e-commerce, if you add Jumia to the equation. I mean, is the Nigerian tech sector ripe for growth beyond fintech?
It's one of those things where I actually am quite comfortable with the idea that at the moment a lot of the capital that is coming into fintech, and I'll tell you why. I think that it is important that if you're going to build some of these scale propositions, it's important that the rails, right, that those things are going to sit upon are right. I remember 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when we were all talking about e-commerce in Nigeria, and there were two or three significant challenges that those companies were trying to solve at the time. And I think only now, for example, with the emergence of a business like Flutterwave, even, of course, Paystack, only now has some of those problems been solved. So you really have to say to yourself, and by those problems, I mean things like payments. I mean things like logistics, last mile delivery. And you wonder to yourself, if those companies were starting today, right, what would their trajectories look like? And might that be different? Because it's one thing when you're trying to build an e-commerce business. It's quite another thing when you're also trying to build an in-house payment solution. You're also trying to build an in-house logistics solution. And I think that is the challenge that, frankly, any entrepreneur at any scale will tell you that they face in Nigeria. I think sometimes it's important that the layer products are in place and that then people can then build and build and build much more across much more adjacent sectors on top of that. That said, you are seeing flows of capital into other non-fintechs. So you're absolutely right that the bulk of the capital is going into fintech. And I think it's because payments is a fundamental problem that needs to be solved. You know, as much as we say there's so much there's so much capital going into fintech, think about the everyday payments challenges that you and I still have, right? You know, we still have everyday payments challenges. So it's clear that that problem still needs to be solved. And when it is solved at scale, I think what you'll see is that, you know, the layers of other companies that can be built on top of it and can be credibly built on top of where people, investors believe that, look, this thing can actually really scale because the founder is not distracted, for example, by trying to resolve payments or logistics issues. I think you'll start to also then see a shift of capital towards these other sectors. I think what we see today is just a reflection of the fact that this problem is so fundamental to our ability to, you know, we're talking about online businesses, right?
You
have to be able to pay. You know, and I think once that gets solved, I will see a shift of the capital. We'll see it just open up so many other sectors.
Well, what I'm imagining is the first person who will figure out a way to get across to the long tail. You know, not the Nigerians who are banked and who can, you know, get online to shop for things, but the Nigerians who are using feature phones, the Nigerians who do not know how to work a laptop, do not know how to go online and shop for anything and pay for anything. The fintech who figures that out. Oh my God.
I think you're right. It's a really, really interesting opportunity and it's a really, really big problem to solve. And so far, it's one that is, to your points, for example, around feature phones, so far it's one that is, you know, you're right that a lot of the technology is web or it is, you know, app based. And we still haven't figured out how to then sort of solve it for people who are otherwise, I don't want to say completely financially excluded, but, you know, kind of in this sort of, you know, less included, I guess, than you or I might be. And you're right, that really opens up the market quite massively.
Right.
And to be honest, I think that challenge also reflects sometimes when we see, you know, you and I know that the penetration in fintech and payments is not nearly where we can say that, you know, the most significant portion of Nigerians are included.
Like M-Pesa, for instance.
right? But you still see a lot of people or fintechs who will say, okay, so after Nigeria, I'm going to Ghana, I'm going to, right? Because you're right, there is this kind of focus on the people who are more formally included in that way. And hopefully, you know, it gets solved. So that's why you see the CBN, you know, licensing agent, you know, super agent network and agent banking and all of these things, and insisting that the banks deploy into some of these areas, bringing in the mobile operators, because it is a massive opportunity. Now, will it be solved by a classic startup? I don't know. But when it is solved, does it open up the tech market as a whole? I believe so.
Lagos, if you just joined the show, we're having an amazing conversation with Eloho Omame. Eloho is the co-founder of First Check Africa. They are an angel fund investing in the sector. They're doing amazing work with women, by the way, that we'll get into eventually. But today we're talking about what's next for Nigeria's tech sector. This is a business show. You know this by now. On Balogun and Broad, we take a look at business stories, the biggest stories of the day, and how they affect your business, how they affect your life, because you're the ones who are working for these businesses. You own these businesses. You are the real ones who are doing these businesses. And so it's nice to have a show where you can listen to these conversations and understand what impact they hold for you in real time. Now, today, we're starting with Flutterwave, but we're extending into the tech sector entirely. And now we need to take a long break. But after this break, we'll talk about the ecosystem and how you can get involved. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
If you earn a living, you probably own a business, work for one, or want to start one. Business is central to your life. But do most business shows really speak to you?
Today on the show, the billion-dollar valuation of
Balogun Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigeria Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of...
And Balogun Street.
The maximum I will spend on fuels on through was 4,000.
Balogun and Broad, Wednesdays at 5.
This is the business show for people who are doing real business. I always say we don't talk up here, and my guest took that message to heart, and she's done her best to explain these terms to you as simply as possible. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info Lagos. What do you think is behind the success and growth of the Nigerian tech sector? If you work in tech, you have to call and tell us how you got started. Tell us what you do, how you got started. If you want to learn more about the tech business environment, you can also call in with questions for Eloho Omame. Eloho Omame is the co-founder of First Check Africa. They are an angel fund investing in the tech sector. And she's been talking to us about that world. You know, we started off with talking about what a unicorn is. And then we talked about what a valuation is all about. And then we talked about the success. Why are these people pouring money into the Nigerian market? And she gave us a very, very fair explanation as to why. And then we also talked about if the Nigerian tech sector is ripe for growth beyond fintech, and she seems to think so. Now, let's talk about the ecosystem itself. There's never any guarantee that any country or city will be a booming tech sector. How come Nigeria and Lagos in particular has turned out to be fertile ground for it? What factors do you credit for this, Eloho?
It's a range of things. I think that the market certainly has the size of the potential market opportunity. And I think a lot of people count a couple of things in sort of coming to that math, right? One is just the population, the size that we have. And if you look at the continent as a whole, Nigeria is obviously a significant market. Two, I think there's the fact that there are so many glaring opportunities for technology to improve all of our lives, right? And so there is opportunities, quote unquote, to build and solve problems by leveraging technology as well. I think another thing that has made our ecosystem successful is the fact that it had some very early protagonists that were local and that really sort of did a great job, I think, of putting the Nigerian and the African ecosystem or the African tech ecosystems on, you know, as part of a global conversation. I think leveraging and springboarding off all the things I've talked about. So the market is big. There's so many opportunities to use technology to solve problems, etc. And that is sort of, you know, where you saw some of those early forays of global technology investors into Nigeria, into Kenya, into South Africa, etc. Because that narrative and that advocacy was strong. I think another thing that has also helped Nigeria as a whole is even, you know, think about some of the very early companies, not very early, but think about a business like Adela, right? That basically helped to increase capacity and tech talent within Nigeria for a global market. Yes, but of course, that mushrooming into helping to develop technology talent within Nigeria and across Africa as well. So I think in many ways, Nigeria also now is starting to be a source of technology talent for other locations as well. And that in and of itself is helping to kind of keep Nigeria relevant in a global conversation. One small example, there was a company, I won't mention the company because the founder ended up in trouble, but it was a US company on Twitter about 2 weeks ago. Ended up sort of retweeted something and upset a lot of people. But anyway, a US company on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. And I remember he was making some reference to hiring and hiring certain talent. And I found it really, really interesting that there were Nigerian developers that were part of that conversation where they were saying, yep, we were hired by him in the early days and we helped build his app, which is now sort of making waves in the US. And I think that was a testament to the fact that our developers really are, they're getting increasing recognition for the great work that they're doing as well. So I think all of those things make our technology ecosystem interesting and help sort of keep us relevant at a global level. I think our ecosystem is still very small. You know, we throw these numbers around, but they're really small. I think last year, less than $1 billion came into tech startups in Africa. $1 billion sounds like a lot. So you remember that $1 billion, you know, Flutterwave is valued at more than the money that came into the entire tech ecosystem, for example. $1 billion sounds like a lot until you remember that, you know, a few hundred times that are what go into the US as a single market, for example. I think that reflects in some ways the maturity of the US tech ecosystem, or Silicon Valley, I suppose, more specifically, versus Nigeria / Africa. But, you know, so let's not get carried away. It's not the volume of capital. There's so much more capital that can and should flow into Nigeria, I think, so that we can build some of these technology businesses. But I, you know, those are the reasons that I think, the reasons I've articulated are the reasons that I think that we are seeing that, that global conversation that includes Nigeria, which is a fantastic thing.
But there's still a physical bottleneck at the port, right? So we've got only one functional physical gate, right? So, what more do you think could be happening there to bring in more of that money?
Gosh, so I think there's a bunch of bottlenecks to business in Nigeria. There's a bunch of bottlenecks to innovation. There's a bunch of bottlenecks to capital. And I think that, you know, I would say those are the sort of the three big buckets that are worth thinking about when we say what more could happen. So for example, I think even the way that capital flows, our capital controls, the way that capital flows in and out of Nigeria, the fact that we have a fixed or a managed exchange rate situation or managed exchange rate, market, means that, you know, it's from a capital perspective, there are frictions to the ability and the free flowing of capital. I think that even at the very early stages as well, the fact that even if you think about the way technology investing works, right, what should typically happen is some of the very, very early companies where you have a founder who has a bit of an idea and they're testing it, and maybe one day it grows to become a Flutterwave, who should fund that kind of business? It's really not a VC. It should be what we call angel investors, who are individuals, high net worth individuals, etc., who are going to take the risk. It should be people's savings. It should be what we call friends and family. And again, if you think about, you know, the even little things like the savings rate, the investment rate in Nigeria, it means that it's actually quite hard as a startup founder to raise that very early capital, unless you're quite privileged and you have access to pools of capital that allow you to do that. So from the capital side, I think there's a couple of things that need to get solved. Mm-hmm. There's a whole conversation that is happening around, you know, are there ways in which you can incentivize mm-hmm. more angel investing into the tech ecosystem by even looking at things like tax, the way that, you know, people get tax rebates, for example, etc. Are there different schemes and incentives that can be put in place to help to pull private capital into the very early stages? Mm-hmm. But the point I'm trying to make more generally is the capital. There are a bunch of bottlenecks even in the capital side. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the ports and the infrastructural bottlenecks, you're absolutely right. There are bottlenecks at the ports, and you know that needs to be resolved. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think our network has done what our network does best, and we're going to try and solve that particular problem, hopefully solve it permanently once and for all. It's 15 minutes until it's 5 o'clock. We have Eloha back. Eloha, before the network goes off again, I want to talk about your baby, because you've been talking about angel investing again and again. So let's talk about First Check Africa. What do you do?
Okay. So First Check Africa, we started First Check. So I started First Check with Wanda, who's called Audrey Ewini. She's a woman, and she's also one of the founders of Piggyvest. And we started First Check about, we announced it in January, but we've been talking about it for a couple of months before then. Mm. And we call ourselves early believers for women in tech. Mm. And it basically means, you know, I spoke earlier about ideation capital and angel money, etc. We're fundamentally, we're an angel fund for women in tech mm. because we think there is, well, we know, we can see that there's a diversity issue mm-hmm. around capital mm-hmm. for women in tech. Mm-hmm. There's a general financing gap for women all over the world, mm-hmm. Out in and outside of tech. Mm-hmm. I think globally, the numbers are something like less than 5% of capital. I think it's less than 2% of capital is in the technology space mm-hmm. Goes into women and women-led tech startups. Mm-hmm. We also saw a pandemic that was quite hurtful to women in that the number of women that were attracting capital through the pandemic was lower globally. And also, of course, women then also had to juggle this whole working from home dynamic. Mm-hmm. And you saw, you know, unemployment, et cetera, significantly affected women. So in any event, there's certainly a capital gap that women face right. in and outside of tech. The World Bank says it's about $42 billion or so in Africa, of capital that women need for their companies, but they cannot find.
Right.
In technology, the number will be smaller than that.
Right.
At First Check, what we're doing is we're being early believers. So we're saying, you know what, we focus on women and what we call diverse teams. So tech teams where one of the co-founders at least is a woman,
mm-hmm.
Where you have a technology idea, you have an early startup, and you just want, a friendly angel fund mm. to consider investing in your startup. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is women face a bunch of barriers to their ability to raise capital,
mm.
some of which is things like just bias,
mm.
some of which is things like struggling to sort of connect with the networks of VCs and angel investors that because, you know, those networks tend to be very male dominated.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is things like they're facing investors and they're pitching to investors who don't necessarily sometimes even empathize with the product or don't necessarily, sometimes it's easier to pitch to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying, you know, if we can stand in the gap and try and sort of resolve some of these issues for women by putting our own capital to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then also more importantly, frankly, than our own capital is bringing our networks to bear. So giving women what we call this early belief ideation capital
mm-hmm.
to build a tech startup because we think technology companies are the future.
Mm-hmm.
If you can build what we call an MVP, which is a minimum viable product with our capital
mm-hmm.
over a 3 to 6 month period.
Mm-hmm.
We will then leverage all of our networks within the tech ecosystem,
mm-hmm.
within an investor community that we're building at the moment,
mm-hmm.
and basically help those women then hopefully go on to raise what we call a seed round. Seed rounds tend to be much bigger. Seed rounds, you can have a seed round as small as $100,000.
Mm.
Today, I think you're starting to see seed rounds in Nigeria, Africa that start to look like $1 million. Kuda Bank even raised a seed round of $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
But for women, the story has been very different.
Mm-hmm.
So for women, their seed rounds have been significantly smaller.
Mm-hmm.
For women, less than 1 in 10 women that have raised capital over the last 10 years has actually managed to, in aggregate, raise more than $1 million.
Mm.
And you say that in an environment where men are raising seed rounds of $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So And that's one round. So we want to sort of help with this early belief, early ideation capital, mm-hmm. help women build what we call these minimum viable products mm-hmm. that prove that this is a scalable, backable tech venture, mm-hmm. and then work with them using our own networks, our own leverage to help them access significant seed rounds. So that's first check. And we launched in January.
Hmm. All right. So something's going on. I don't know what it is with our meeting, but it looks like it's going to bump you out in a bit. So you have to join again. I'm going to send you a link that allows you to join back in. In the meantime, it gives us time to take calls from people who are trying to call into the show. The tech guys are trying to figure out that problem because I want Aloha back. I need to ask Aloha about tech culture. You know, is tech culture changing investor culture? Because, it seems to me like investing is becoming more democratic, more inclusive, you know, with techniques like crowdfunding, for instance, right? So I'm just going to ask you to stay there. We'll figure out what's happening with the tech behind the scenes. And then continue the conversation. Lagos, if you've got questions, please give us a call and ask them. 0700-993-993-993. We also have WhatsApp 080-959-75805. You can, of course, call us on the line for women only, 01465-7190. 01465-7190. We've got Sam in Lagos Island. Sam, thank you very much for calling us. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening, Sam. Welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to ask that. Now, because I used to have, I have PayPal account for the past 7 or 5 years.
So you have what?
I couldn't, PayPal account.
PayPal. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, before Flutterwave now. When I say it merged them or they're having a business together.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'll be able to use it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But is it within Africa or anywhere in the world?
Well, that's really for people who are selling here and want to be able to receive money from people outside of Nigeria. So I don't think that's.
And I want to ask, what was the market capital for the market value of Flutterwave?
What's the market value?
Yeah.
Well, it was valued at over
1 billion.
Yeah.
So how did it get to that? To that range, that's what I really want to know.
Well, were you listening to the conversation?
I was listening to her.
Because she explained it. She told us how.
Are they selling shares like right now?
Okay, so the investors paid $170 million for a certain number of shares in Flutterwave. So that means that the investors and Flutterwave have agreed on a share price for the company. If you multiply that share price... No, you can't buy shares there yet.
Okay, just for investors.
Yes, when they list, then you can, buy shares if you want.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much, Sam. All right. We've got Aloha back on the line now. Aloha, thank you for staying with us. Is tech culture changing investing culture, do you think?
Is tech culture changing investing culture? Tell me what you mean.
It seems like investing is becoming more democratic. It's becoming more inclusive with techniques like crowdfunding. So do you think that's what's happening here?
Yes. I think for people within the tech space, I think that you're right. There are definitely trends towards much more democratic, much more inclusive investing in tech. Interestingly, the crowdfunding guidelines in the US changed yesterday, today, up to $5 million, I believe it is, through crowdfunding in the US, whereas the previous limit was, I think, just over $1 million, which is really, really interesting. I think there's a bunch of other innovations that, I won't go into the details because you said I should keep things up. But there's there's a bunch of other innovations that have meant that even for the fund managers in tech, it has become a little bit easier, one, to become a fund manager and two, to raise capital. And of course, crowdfunding also means. Now, that's the US. I think those trends, we see them playing themselves out in different ways. We have different variations on those themes that are happening in Nigeria.
All right, let's leave it at that. Let's leave it at that. You know why? We're out of time completely. I hate that.
Oh, goodness.
I hate that. And Lagos is calling with questions, but Lagos will have to drag Eloha back so that she'll answer all your questions, honestly. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.